What is the source for this mitzvah, which we all know and love, called Hadlakas Neros? Is that a biblical mitzvah? If so, where is it mentioned in the Torah? What do we think? Is it a biblical mitzvah?
Yeah. I don't know.
It's a trick question. The answer is no. It's not. It's not, but you're all familiar with the Midrash, which says that Sarah Imenu was lighting Shabbos candles, and Rivka also was lighting Shabbos candles, apparently. When Yitzchak saw the candles of Rivka lighting throughout the week, he knew that this was his soulmate. So, apparently, according to Midrash, this custom goes way, 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 way back. Okay, so if this was a Midrash class, we try to understand the depth of what that Midrash is trying to convey to us. Do we take it literally? Is it trying to teach us an idea about the Imahos and candle lighting? But on a simple sense, Hadlakas Neros is a rabbinical mitzvah. The rabbis decreed, just like on Hanukkah, we light Hanukkah candles, which is a rabbinical mitzvah, to do Pirsume Nisa. So too, we have a rabbinical commandment every Shabbos to light Shabbat candles. And as beautiful of a minhag, of a halacha it is, a lot of people don't really understand why we do it. And the why in this case actually connects very much to the details of how we fulfill this mitzvah. So that's why it's a fun sugya for us rabbis to teach about. And it's also very practical. So if you have any questions, as always, you can always ask. I'm going to ask also if people can put your phones and put it in like a knapsack or somewhere far away so it doesn't distract us. We've got a pen and paper so we can doodle and write notes and be present for Torah with HaKadosh Baruch Hu zagging with us. Okay, so why? Why? What is the rationale for the mitzvah of lighting Shabbat candles? Why do we do this? Why do the rabbis want us to light candles when Shabbat begins? Any ideas? You wise women, yes?
To bring light into our homes.
Very nice. So there's I'm not going to put this truthfully on the halachic reasoning, since this is not mentioned in the Gemara or the Rishonim, but on a symbolic level, I will mention this spiritually, that we're bringing light into our lives. One could explain that, the world sometimes is a dark and scary and hard place, but the light of Emunah, of trust in a Kadosh Baruch Hu, the light of Shabbos, of the belief in Hashem, brings light into our lives and light into our homes. So that's definitely a beautiful symbolic thing to think about and to pray about. And by the way, that minhag of bringing light into the world is not just a nice idea. It's related to the custom which many holy women have of praying for Talmidei Chachamim, for children, Zakeni Legadel Bani Mubnei Banim, right? That beautiful custom where we sing at Hadlakas Neros is related to the symbolism that comes with what the candles represent, bringing spirituality and Torah into our lives. Yes?
I was going to say that back then,
excellent. So there is a practical element for the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neros. During Talmudic times, they did not yet have electricity, right? Edison came a little later, wouldn't you know it? And so to make sure that we have light in our homes, the rabbis instituted, thou shalt light candles before Shabbos. Because on Shabbos, we all know that we're not allowed to create fire, right? It's explicit in the Torah. So right before Shabbos, the rabbi, because what's going to happen? Friday night's going to come, and there's going to be no candles, and then you say, oh, gee golly, what do we do now? We can't light the candles. Have to get a goy and light the candles. It's going to be complicated. Ah. So the rabbi said, make sure you light a long-lasting candle that you can benefit from on Erev Shabbos, practically to benefit from the light. And the way that we call this is for shalom bayis, for harmony in the home. Because if you don't have light, why didn't you remember to turn the light on? And you're going to trip over the furniture, you're going to knock over your wife and your kids, and it's going to be wild and crazy. So to avoid this scenario, practically speaking, the rabbis instituted, let there be light. let there be light in your home. That's a shalom bias, okay? Got that? That's actually mentioned in the Gemara, this rationale for why we light, need to light Shabbos candles. By the way, in my life, I experienced this once. I was in Zimbabwe, and there's no electricity in many of the homes in Zimbabwe, so they were keeping Shabbos, and literally, the only light that we had to eat our Shabbos meal and to enjoy our Shabbos meal was the candles that we lit on Friday nights.
Today is purely symbolic.
No, exactly not. We're going to say that today it has both spiritual and practical elements to it, and that both those elements will manifest themselves in the halachas, in the practical halachas, as we shall see.
But I thought you're not supposed to benefit from shabbos candles.
So that is a complicated question. The answer is yes and no.
No, you are.
You are supposed to benefit from the Shabbos candles. That's the whole point, that you don't trip. But you're not supposed to benefit specifically when it comes to reading by the candlelight. The rabbis witnessed that people broke Shabbos because they were tilting the fire to give it a little bit more, be able to read. So therefore, they made sure, they decreed that don't read by the candlelight, or you have to have someone to be reading with you, standing next to you, so that you don't come to tilt the candles. So really, in essence, you should benefit. Just specifically, we shouldn't come to benefit in a way that we might break malacha, as opposed to Hanukkah candles. Hanukkah, in lanu rishus lehishtamesh behem. We're not, yes, it is a bit confusing. Hanukkah, we're not allowed to benefit from the light. The whole point is not to benefit from the light. We only benefit from the shamish. Shabbos, we have to benefit from the light, or else it's a brachal of atala. And we'll have to see how to practically get benefit from the light and how that manifests itself in Bahalam. Okay? So yes, we do want to benefit from the light. Okay, so one is shalom bayis, harmony in the home, practically having light. What other reasons are there given for having Shabbos candles? So one you might not think of, but it's related to the second one. It's called Oneg Shabbat. The rabbi said when you can see your food, it's more enjoyable. Otherwise, you can't pass the salt. Is that salt? Is that sugar? You don't know. It's confusing. So related to Shalom Bayis, you'll enjoy the Shabbos meal better, Oneg Shabbat, when you can actually see. Okay? Now, what's the other reason? I think intuitively we understand that this is the other rationale for Shabbos candles. That is Kavod Shabbos. Kavod means honor. Or, as I translated it, ambience. This is the Rambam, who is the one who gives this explanation for why we light Shabbos candles, even though it's not actually in the Gemara, but he explains a different rationale. He says, when you light your nice Shabbos candles, anyone ever been at a candlelit dinner where all you have is candles? It's kind of nice, right? So that's kind of the idea behind Shabbos candles. It brings honor to Shabbos. We welcome Shabbos with kavod. We write these beautiful lights, and it has all the spiritual, symbolic values. And in this, obviously, we want to actually light candles. If I turn on my electric lights, my fluorescent or my incandescent lights, it don't really feel the same kavod Shabbos as if I, light nice candles. So there's a certain vibe that the Shabbos candles are supposed to bring to us. Okay? So those are the three main reasons. One could also throw in some additional ideas. It connects women, because women, as we'll see, are more connected to candlelighting than men. So they're actively bringing Shabbos in, and it's like a physical way of saying, it's Shabbos. I'm excited for Shabbos. When I light those candles, it's also an action which brings Shabbos into my life, as we'll see. I'll also add in on the symbolic level that there's a lot of Chassidus behind the meaning of lights, oil lights, ner la'adam nishmat adam, the soul of a man is compared to a candle in Tanakh. So there's a soul candle connection. And something that I thought of is that what's the first way that Hashem interacted with the universe? What did he bring to the world?
Let there be light.
Let there be light. So Hashem created the world through light. So we're bringing our creation of our Shabbos world with light. So there's a lot of beautiful symbolism behind lighting Shabbos candles. And it deserves a whole shiur in of itself, but this is a halachic shiur, so we're just mentioning that. Okay? So now we give the rationale for a bunch of possible reasons. Not one or the other. All of these are aspects of the mitzvah of lighting candles. I want to get into some of the details of who has to light candles, and when should we light candles, and then the modern questions of what about electric lights, what about girls or boys in a dorm, do they have to light electric lights, hotels, cruise ship, all these situations on a practical level. Okay, let's start off with who. Who is supposed to light Shabbos candles? Which humans?
And women, but if women are alone, they have to light them.
Right, so both types of humans, women and men, are obligated to light Shabbos candles. The mitzvah, surprising on both. But really, it's on the house, okay? Meaning in every house, someone has to light Shabbos candles, man or woman. But you don't need both the man and the woman, or the man and the man, or the woman and the woman to be lighted. You just need, technically, one person to light for each house. Which makes sense. You need light in the house. You just need every house to have someone light. Now, I know that a lot of people like candles, right? So that's true, because a lot of women, Baruch Hashem, are very connected to this mitzvah. They don't lose their connection to the mitzvah. So everyone will light their own candles. And what the assumption is that the person, the woman of the house, is fulfilling her obligation for anyone who needs to fulfill her obligation. Anyone who wants to fulfill the obligation on their own will fulfill the obligation on their own. And that is why women can still say a bracha on their Shabbos candle lighting, because otherwise it would be a bracha levatala, because somebody was already yotze you. So we assume that, since we know a lot of women want to bless on their own, that you're not being yotze to that woman. Yeah, you have a question?
Each apartment, its own house, like, if you live in a big apartment building, one person's
bed,
or each apartment?
So if you live in a big apartment building, for sure each room, each house is its own entity. The fact that it's a big building, does you live and eat and sleep here, so therefore, that's one entity. Where it gets a little complex is, let's say, in a dorm room, because people don't necessarily normally eat in their dorm room. They sleep there, so there is some degree of privacy, but they don't eat there. They eat in the dining room. And that's why it's a bit of a machlokas. It would be ideal, honestly, if we would light candles in our dorm room, according to some poskim, because that's where you sleep. So that's the ikar of your bias. Another stage where you eat, so where you are doing dinner, would be the better place to light candles. For practical reasons, pikuach nefesh is one of the strongest values. So since, unfortunately, there have been fires and stuff like that, so many institutions, I assume, Minmo, I don't know, but many institutions would not allow lighting candles in your dorm rooms, because it's safer to do it in a communal room, so they'll rely upon the posting that it goes by the place you eat, i.e. the communal dining room, where you'll light the candles, or in some sort of public area where you could still benefit to some extent, but it's less dangerous. Okay? We'll see that there's a way of fulfilling all the perspectives, i.e. electric lights. We'll get there in a few moments. Okay? Adkan, clear? All clear? All good? Beautiful. Okay. So that's men and women. So it doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman, you just have to make sure it's lit. However, some people get married. That's actually a big mitzvah. And when they get married, we have a conflict. Who lights the candles? The man or the woman? So we all know the precedence goes, in this case, to the women. It's a woman's mitzvah. Okay? Why is it a woman's mitzvah? Why do women get precedence when it comes to hadlakas neros? So the Gemara seems simple, because women are responsible for the house. They're what's called dvistu, they're called the house. They're responsible for bringing the warmth and the Torah education and the light, specifically in the home. And because of a woman's deeper connection to the home, the rabbi said that women should light and not the man, unless there's no woman around. If you're not yet married, so the man should light, or if the woman's sick, or for whatever reason would not be able to light Shabbos candles, then she gives that zechut to either her husband or maybe her daughter or son. Someone else will take responsibility for lighting that. Okay? And this comes up a lot, let's say, in the dorms. Okay? So when I was living in boys' dorms, there was no woman to light the candles. So some man or some guy over 13 had to take responsibility to light Shabbos candles for everybody else. No, it wasn't weird. It was fine. It was fun. It was cool. In fact, I got quite used to it. I was living in different apartments, different, not just dorms, different, you know. I was living life, not married, for years, and I would light Shabbos candles. Every Shabbos, I would light the Shabbos candles, and it's fine. It's cool. So that's a good, it's a bit of a controversial question, but I'll tell you my perspective, which is the Rav Melamed's perspective. Everything is always basically on the Pesach of Rav Melamed. My mom lives in New York. When she takes Shabbos upon herself, I've already been in Shabbos for 7 hours. So it doesn't make sense to me and other poskim that she can fulfill my obligation. Yet how could she fulfill my obligation if I've already been in Shabbos for 7 hours? And therefore, I lit candles on my own, and that's what many poskim say one should do, which should not rely upon their parents if their parents are in a different time zone. Okay? However, as I mentioned, there's a machloikis. I think there are some poskim who hold that your mom can be yotze you. The logic does, I don't understand it because it's about on the house and she's in a different house. I don't understand it, but I'll leave that as it be, and you can ask your local Orthodox rabbi for a particular hadracha. I know there's also some differences between Ashkenaziot and Sfardiot when it comes to that detail of the law. So double check with your posek for your minhag. Okay, and don't make any shalom bias issues. At the end of the day, as long as one girl is lighting in the dorms, you're yotze. You're good. You don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
Okay? So this shouldn't. It should. You should. We should be covered one way or the other. Yeah.
But to the person lighting, is it necessary that you know that they're not sure what Shabbat, then she'd be
lighting. I don't think it matters, because at the end of the day, if she's lighting Shabbos candles, she probably has in mind to do the mitzvah. And I thought you were going to ask, maybe she won't have you in mind. But I assume she's doing it like a. She's doing it like all other Jewish women to fulfill the mitzvah, and I think it's okay. Would I say to a chumrah? It's a good chumrah to light on your own. But just because she's not keeping Shabbos doesn't mean her mitzvah of hadlakas neiros is not legitimate. But because maybe you're concerned that she wouldn't have the correct kavana to be yotzi you, so if you want to be machmir, as long as it won't create shalom bias issues, say, I like lighting my own candles. I would say that's a nice thing to do. You don't have to. Don't do it if it's going to create a stressful situation. Okay? Now, another detail that's important to know about Shabbos candles that so many people don't know about is that you have to benefit from the candles. If you didn't benefit from the candles, you didn't fulfill the mitzvah.
You know what Kabbalah is for? Like, you have to look at
her. To benefit. Correct. That's what we learned about last class. That's right. That's right. So that's at the end of Shabbos, we want to benefit. But on Shabbos too, we want to benefit. So if you're at a Shabbos table, you generally are benefiting. Because you'll see the candle as you walk in. There's a minhag when I do Kiddush, I always look at the candles. That's a Kabbalistic idea. You should look at the candles for 2 seconds. Now, what's the problem? You're lighting candles in your dorm room or where you live, and then you're going out to dinner at somewhere far away. So by the time you get back home, you're not going to actually see your candles. Okay? So then that's a problem. So how do we get out of that problem? There's several ways. One is light where you're eating. Two, you don't really have to light where you're eating. You can have her, let's say my wife, will light for and have in mind everyone who's coming to your house. Just benefit from the light. So that's okay. Another thing you could do is have long-lasting candles so that when you get home, you'll actually pay it, you know, get benefit. And finally, as we'll see, the electric lights can help you out. Because although it's a machlokas, we end up poskening that electric lights do count as Shabbos candles, bidyeved. Not ideally, but bidyeved, you could fulfill your obligation through electric lights. So if I left some electric lights in my home, and when I get home, I benefit from those lights, I have still fulfilled my obligation of benefiting from the lights of the Shabbos candle. Okay? That makes sense?
What if you didn't light the light right before you came home?
if you didn't do the mitzvah, so then hopefully you were yotzei through.
Like, if you left the light on, you'll
I even light it right before Shabbos. So it depended when you turned it on. If you turned it on after Plag HaMincha, which is the earliest time you're allowed to do Shabbos candling, so then even if you didn't have intention, you still had light in your home. But if you turn it on before Plag HaMincha, like 2.5 hours before Shabbos, then you're right. It'll be hard to argue that you fulfilled your obligation because you put it on before. You should, ideally. But if you didn't, it might count anyway. Like many mitzvahs, ideally you should have intention. If you didn't have the right intention, since there's a practical element and you actually benefited from it, it's okay. Okay? Good. So, everyone with me. Girls, stick with me. Okay? Who, we said men and women. And when I say men and women, I mean a bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah age. Okay? Girls in the back, don't stick with me. Okay, so when you're 12 and 13, that's when you say the blessing. I know you're going to ask me, what about many Chabad? I don't know if you know this, but a lot of Chabad have a custom that girls, when they're really young, start lighting Shabbos candles. And that's fine. It's great. There's no problem lighting Shabbos candles. In fact, it's a great thing, according to Baba Trebi, spreading light to the world. It's a mitzvah of our generation. It's beautiful. But halachically, you're obligated to light candles at 12. Maybe before that, you could do a midin chinuch, just to get in. I'm saying you don't have to do it, exactly. And many women like doing it. It's a beautiful thing to do. So they just like a lot of men like doing your own kiddush, even though you could be yotzei to the guy who said kiddush before you, but you like saying your own bracha, and you put your own kavanah into it. So many women like lighting their own Shabbos candles. Beautiful. No problem. But you can do that. You don't have to do that. You can do that. You can fulfill the obligation on your own instead of being fulfilling it through the Bala Tabait. Okay? Yeah.
Is there an idea that once you start lighting, you can't stop, like as a girl, you can take it on, you can't come?
I'm not sure. I mean, you're talking about before you're 12.
No, after.
Oh, before you're married, you're saying. In general, there is an inyan that if you do something 3 times, it becomes a minhag mechayev. It becomes like a neder and you do have to continue doing it unless you nullify the minhag. I don't know for specifically in this if this is considered one of those things, but logically it would make sense that if you took it upon yourself, that this is my minhag, then you probably should continue to do it. Unless you took it upon yourself, like I'm going to do it and you had it in mind, but I'm not taking it upon myself as a neder. And also every year we nullify our nedarim. So each year you can kind of start again with it, with your thought process. Most likely, and say, oh, this year I don't want to have in mind that every single time. Okay? And when? So when do we light Shabbos candles? So most Jewish women, when do you say the bracha? Is actually the question asked. When do you say the bracha? Most Jewish women, almost all Ashkenaziot, and many Sfaradiot, say the blessing after you light candles. Why is that? Why do we not do what we normally do, which is say the blessing and then do the mitzvah? Why do we do the mitzvah and then say the blessing?
You're like starting
shop. So the rationale is, and this is a little nuanced, so pay attention to what I'm saying. Most women have accepted upon themselves, the minhag of most of Am Yisrael, is that women accept Shabbos early upon themselves. Okay? When do they accept? When they say the blessing of lighting Shabbos candles. Okay? Why would they do that? Because they wanted to fulfill this mitzvah of Tosefet Shabbat. Are you familiar with the mitzvah of Tosefet Shabbat? Tosefet Shabbat means that there is a mitzvah to take Shabbos upon yourself before it's actually Shabbos. Okay? So even though Shkia, sunset, is at 4:51 this Shabbos, we have a possibly biblical command to take Shabbos upon ourselves at 4:50, before Shabbos. Correct. We, Am Yisrael, go out of our way to add either 18 or 40 minutes extra. But the reasoning is to fulfill this mitzvah of Tosefet Shabbat, and also just not to get too close to Shabbos so we won't break Shabbos Chas V'Shalom. So women, how did they fulfill this mitzvah? By lighting candles, by lighting Shabbos candles. Most, but not all Jewish women, made that their way of accepting Shabbos upon themselves. Okay? Men did not take that custom upon themselves. Men in the olden days used to take Shabbos upon themselves early when they would sing Lechadodi or other parts of Kabbalat Shabbat. And that's why when you get married, you could ask your husband to deal with the muksa or turn on the blech, even though you've accepted Shabbos upon yourself. For him, he's going to accept Shabbos upon himself early when he goes to shul and sings Lechadodi, hopefully. Okay? And that's why, that's the whole idea with taking Shabbos upon yourself early. And now, in a second, after Abby's question, I'll ask Anna to your question. I'll explain why some people have the custom to say the blessing before, not after they light the candles. Okay? Yeah.
So, if you, the time flies and, Shabbos technically started, but, it's still the 18 minutes, you can still light?
So, 18 minutes before Shkia is still not Shkia, still not Shabbos. So, you're fine. If time flies and it's Shkia, and the sun is setting, and you can't daven mincha anymore, then it's Shabbos, and you can't light Shabbos candles. But 18 minutes is just like a siag, a fence that we took upon ourselves, but it's not actually Shabbos. Okay? Now, okay, yeah. So that's what I was trying to say. For most women, especially Ashkenaziot, we took upon ourselves that I'm accepting Shabbos when I say the bracha, and that's the reason why you say the bracha after you light candles. But for some humans, like men, we didn't take that custom upon ourselves that we accept Shabbos when we light candles. So I'm going to do like every other mitzvah. I say the blessing, and I light the candles, but it's not Shabbos for me. Lighting candles does not necessarily collide with Shabbos. It only does with many Jewish women who took that upon themselves to link them together. But for us men folk, that's not the custom in general. Mm-hmm. And so lighting the candles does not take Shabbos upon yourself.
But if a man decides to light candles, does it also
no. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It's not.
They
can drive to shul and they can do something crazy. They can daven mincha. And minchas for the week. How can you daven mincha if it's already Shabbos? Because it's not Shabbos until I accept Shabbos upon myself. And men did not take upon themselves this custom of taking Shabbos upon themselves when they light candles. Okay. And by the way, it's not just men. Some Sephardi women also did not take this Shabbos upon themselves when they say the bracha. And so that's why you'll sometimes see some Sephardi women actually say the bracha. And then they light the candles. They don't light the candles and then they do the bracha. For that same reason, because they don't take Shabbos upon themselves when they say the bracha. They take Shabbos upon themselves maybe when they light the candles or at some later point. By the way, this is extremely helpful to know about, even for Ashkenazi regular women, not regular, Ashkenazi women who take Shabbos upon themselves when they light candles. Because if you are in an emergency situation and you need to buy, you need to take a car, a cab to wherever you're going for Shabbos, you can specifically have in mind, I'm lighting candles, I'm fulfilling my mitzvah, but I'm not taking Shabbos upon myself. You get it? All you have to do is think that, or say it even better, and then you can take a car, you can daven mincha. So sometimes this happens with my wife. I'll tell her, don't just light candles, have in mind not to be yoytze, then you can daven mincha. And then you can take Shabbos upon yourself afterwards. Okay? Because otherwise you're in this tricky situation where you've already taken Shabbos upon yourself, so then how am I going to daven mincha? Because mincha means it's the week. So it's a little bit of a conflict. So or if time is short, that's a trick that everybody can use sometimes. Okay? Yes?
I don't know if you already talked about this, but you don't have to try to start early. Do you technically have to follow that if you're running late?
Good question. The answer is no. Why not? You do not have to take 40 minutes upon yourself if you're running late. Because this is a minhag which has not been universally accepted upon all Jews of Yerushalayim. Okay? I still think the more Tosefet Shabbos you can do, the more blessing you bring into your life. And a lot of times they're not. People go to big Kabbalistic rabbis or even halachic rabbis, they'll say, oh, you want to take something to bring more blessing into your life? You want to refuah shleima for this person, whatever? Take Shabbos early. Take in more Shabbos. So it's still considered a worthwhile, beautiful thing to do, and maybe that's why the minhag of Yerushalayim was 40 minutes, even more than the rest of the world. We want to be even more holier, bring more Shabbos Kedusha. But looking around, it's clear that not everyone is makbid about the 40 minutes in Yerushalayim. So if you're running late, it's fine. Don't worry about it. Even 18 minutes. 18 minutes has been much more universally accepted in America.
Yeah.
But if you're stuck in an emergency situation, you can not do the 18 minutes. Okay? 18 minutes is a normal situation. It's a great thing to do, but if you're stuck, you're stuck. It's, like I said, I don't know where it came from, but Yerushalayim in general likes being machmir and bringing more Kedusha and more Shabbos upon themselves. Just like some people wait to have more Shabbos, they take Shabbos out late.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, you'll see that in a lot of places. You know, it's a fulfillment of Tosefet Shabbat. Just like you take Shabbos early, you also wait more afterwards. Again, technically, you fulfill that mitzvah because naturally, even built into the schedule, we don't really end Shabbos the minute it's over. We wait a few minutes. Okay, so you fulfill the mitzvah, but in this case, the more the better. So you want to wait 20 minutes, a half hour, an hour after Shabbos? Great. That's considered a worthwhile, good thing to do. Other people are machmir for other reasons. It's complicated. Rabbeinu Tam has a different shita about when is Shkia in Seita Kochavim, and so if you're machmir about Rabbeinu Tam, naturally, you're going to end up ending Shabbos about a half hour later than everybody else, or 45, depending on the time. Okay? That's why sometimes you'll see people take Shabbos. Other people just like singing at Shalosh Shabbos, and that's why they take Shabbos out late. So in Tzvat and Yerushalayim and Yeshivas, you'll see a lot of times they take Shabbos out later for that reason. Okay. So that explains why Shabbos, why some do the blessing afterwards. It also explains a minhag of closing your eyes. Because you want to say the bracha and then see something, like if the candles were lit. So you do the action, you say the bracha, and then you, oh wow, there's candles. That's the halachic rationale for why that minhag developed. There's also spiritual nice ideas as to why people do that custom. Okay, so that's in terms of the when of lighting candles. Okay? Electric lights, dorms, and I'll add in, what if I forgot? Oh, and another... one is how many candles. That's another detail. Okay, so how many candles do I need to light?
One. Depends on the people in your
Here's family. A shocker. One candle. That's all you need. You need light. But the minhag of Am Yisrael, many, many people, are machmir to have two lights. Why two candles? Shamar v'zachor is the general explanation given. Two aspects of Shabbos. Man, woman is another explanation I've heard. A lot of beautiful symbolic and Hasidic ideas, but two is the minhag. Many others have a custom to add for children, however many children there are in the house, or seven candles, some have a custom. These are all beautiful customs, and whatever your family custom is good, but one is the minimum and two is the minhag. Okay? Clear. What about electric lights? We've already touched on this a little bit. Do electric lights count for fulfilling my Shabbos candle halachic obligation?
Yeah.
B'diavad, yes. Okay, so the truth is, it's a machlokes. It's an argument. Also, depending on what type of electric light, there's a difference between incandescent lights and fluorescent lights. Incandescent lights are more candle-like than fluorescent light. It's just the way that they're built. They're more similar to the way that candle is lit. And there is a machlokas whether incandescent electric lights count for Shabbos lighting. Let's just bring down the lundus. On the practical level, do electric lights practically provide us light?
Yeah.
Most certainly. Actually, better than candles. But on the symbolic level, in terms of ambience, do they give the same Shabbos experience? No. Not the same thing. It doesn't have the spiritual nature of the candle representing the soul and any of that. It's also not the way that Jews have been lighting candles for hundreds and hundreds of years, right? Sorry, Menu didn't flip on the electric lights. Like, so there's something to doing what our mothers before us did us. So for that reason, it's definitely better to light with candles. No question. If you don't have candles, or you're like like we mentioned, complicated situations. It's a sakana, it's a light in your room, but you still want to be machmir to light in your room. So Rav Melamed and many, I think Rav Ovadia Yosef also, and many, many, if not almost all the poskim, say you can use electric lights. Okay? Now, when does this come in handy? On cruise ships, in hospitals, in a dorm room situation when you can't light candles. And, like I said before, let's say you're going away for Shabbos, you want there to be light when you get home, so leave on any light in your house, and that can be your electric light. Oh, so this is what Rav Melamed says. He has a chumrah. I haven't seen that people are machbid to do this. Some people are. He says that actually most of our benefit, our light, is from electricity. So what he says is turn off the lights, okay? And then turn on the electric light. Then bless. Then light the candle. Then say the blessing, having in mind, I don't mean turn on. I mean turn off and then turn it on. Turn off, turn it on. Light the candles. Say the blessing. And your blessing was having in mind both the electric lights and the candles. So you get both the symbolic aspect and also the practical element of actually what the electric lights provide. Again, I don't think people are machbit about that, but if you want a chumrah of the day, you can do that. Because Rav Melamed thinks that the electric lights is actually what the main thing that I'm getting my hana'ah from. Okay? In contrast, on Chanukah, one cannot fulfill their obligation with electric lights. Okay? According to almost everybody, and that's practically how we rule. Why not? What's the difference between Chanukah, I can't, even though a lot of people do, but I don't fulfill my obligation, versus Shabbos, I can? Yeah? First of all, the whole miracle was oil, and therefore Hanukkah is all about pirsume nisa, about the symbolism of specifically using candles or oil, because that's what the Maccabees did, as opposed to Shabbos, which has a symbolic element, but also has a practical element. And since there's a practical element that we just want light, you can use electrical lights. Bidyat. What?
You're not supposed to enjoy the Chanukah candles, so if you turn on like a light, you're enjoying
it. Exactly. That's the whole reason why we have the Shamish on Chanukah. The Shamish is there so that we don't benefit from the menorah lights. Like, Ein lanu reshut lehishtamesh behem. Exactly the opposite of Shabbos, when we do have to benefit to some extent from the candles. So it is a fun lumdish difference between Chanukah lights and Shabbos lights. Okay. I think I got to many. I have one last story. Can I end with one last story? Okay, one last halacha story. So, as I mentioned, shalom bayis is the main rationale for why we light our Shabbos candles, to bring harmony into the home. So the rabbis actually ask us a question in the Gemara in Shabbos. What if I don't have enough money for both a Shabbos candle and a Chanukah candle? And in the old days, people were very poor. Candles actually used to be super expensive. And this could have happened. I only have 2 pruta. What should I buy? Should I buy a Chanukah candle? It only comes once a year. I'm so excited. I only need 1 candle to fulfill my obligation. Or do I buy a Shabbos candle?
Shabbos.
Correct. So we want to say Chanukah, right? But the answer is Shabbos. The Gemara says Shabbos. Even though Chanukah only comes once a year, Shabbos. Why? Why does Shabbos? So I would have thought it's Tadir, but the Gemara gives a different rationale, which is fascinating. Gemara says, because of Shalom Bayis. Shalom Bayis takes precedence. Chanukah, I'm not supposed to benefit from the light. So even if I had light, I couldn't benefit. But Shabbos is so that I don't trip over those furniture and knock my wife over. So Shalom Bayis takes precedence. Okay? So based on that, Gemara, the following scenario was asked to, I think, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and other rabbis I've heard this story about. What happens if I get home and I want to light my Chanukah candles at the ideal time? As you'll learn, the ideal time to light Chanukah candles is either Shkia or Tzeit HaKochavim, but either way, really early. We're talking like 440 or 510 here in Israel. But what if my wife is only coming home from work or from wherever at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock? Okay? Now, the ideal way to fulfill the mitzvah is right away, right at the first possible time at 4:50. But my wife is only going to come home at 8 o'clock. Or my husband's only going to come home at 8 o'clock. So what do we do? Should I light at 4:50 or should I wait for my wife? So what's the answer? Wait. You intuitively know that the answer is to wait. But why? Halachically, what's the rationale for why we should wait? The answer is... very good. Shalom bayis.
We're talking about Hanukkah.
We for a moment switched to Hanukkah. Yeah, this is Hanukkah. Let me just finish up the story and then I'll field your question. So, because the value of candles is all about shalom bayis, in this case, listen, you fulfill your mitzvah either way, whether you light at 5 o'clock or 8 o'clock. It's better to fulfill the mitzvah at 5 o'clock. But as long as people are still coming around, you fulfill your obligation even at 8 o'clock. But at 8 o'clock, I get to light the candles with my wife, with my family. Shalom bayis takes precedence. And that's why you should wait for your wife or your family. Yes, what's your question?
So what if a parent needs to wait for a child?
I would say there too, within reason, you should wait for, you know, actually this is used to happen to me. My dad used to work late as a lawyer and get home sometimes 9 o'clock at night, 10 o'clock at night. The halacha is as long as people are still walking on the streets, you fulfill your mitzvah. So we would wait sometimes 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. Obviously, it's not ideal. In an ideal world, you should educate people that they should come home early on Hanukkah to light candles at the ideal time. And here in Israel, that's possible. You can most work it. Yeah, but if you live in America, that's another reason not to live in America. You know, it doesn't go by Jewish time. And your dad might have to work until, so you should wait and do it together. What we've learned today is a rationale for why we do Hanukkah candles. Kavod, Shalom Bayis, Oni Shabbos. We talked about who's obligated, the man and the woman, but the woman takes precedence. We talked about some of the beautiful spiritual Hasidic ideas behind bringing light into our lives with Shabbos candles. We talked about when we do the Shabbos candles and the nafkaminas that come in emergency situations, electric lights, dorms, and I just remembered one last thing with my last 45 seconds. What happens if I forget to light Shabbos candles? So the minhag is that there's a knas to make sure that you don't forget lighting Shabbos candles. And it's written in Svarim that you have to continue to light an extra Shabbos candle because you forgot.
For how long?
For the rest of your life, as far as I know. However, I have a good news for you. Rav Melamed has a cool kula she's brought from other rabbis. He says, as long as you had electric lights in your home, technically, your home wasn't lacking in shalom bayis. To some extent, that mitzvah of candle lighting was fulfilled. And so most of us have electric light, and so we would not actually have to light that candle for the rest of our lives. So I'm not sure that everyone agrees with Rabbi Melamed's leniency, but I think it's a good leniency to know about in case that person would be embarrassed if they'd have to light that candle the rest of their life. So it's a fascinating and yet bold kula of the Malamit, and everyone is dismissed, but please stay along to have any questions. I'll be here all lunch.
My mom wants to get involved. She added this in the key because she never added them again.
So maybe she knew about Ramalama Tetra. What was it?
No, but she did add it then.